I want to talk about the unchanging Word of God. You know, we're living in the last days according to what the Word of God says. You know, a lot of people are trying to figure out what's going on. All you got to go do is read the Bible. You know, and it tells you exactly what's going to happen in the last days. And that's exactly what's going on. Some people, you know, I get a little amused on Facebook at some of these people that are, this is the judgment of God and all that. It ain't no such thing. And for all of you other people, it isn't any such thing. Because this is exactly what the Bible said was going to happen. In fact, his judgment won't come until he takes the church out of here. That's what the Bible said. Read the Bible. Understand the Bible. Some people don't understand the Word of God. You know, he said he'd never judge again in certain ways. And it tells you there. But in the middle of all the things that are changing all around us, you know, everything's changing. But the one thing that remains constant, dependable, and absolutely sure, it's the written Word of God. The promises of God are just as true today as they were the day that the writer of the Word of God, the writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned them. You know, all the promises are ours. Paul said all the promises are yes to us that believe. You know, fads come in and fads go. Dynamic preachers come and go. But one thing remains eternally sure and towers above everything else, and that is the incorruptible Word of God. 1 Peter 1. Turn to 1 Peter 1. That's the foundation of Scripture today, 1 Peter 1. We got to have a firm foundation in the Word. We got to learn to depend upon the Word. I'm giving everybody a chance to turn there. Starting in verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower fades away. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the words which by the gospel was preached to you. We are born again by the incorruptible, undecaying, never fading, never weakening, imperishable Word of God. See, the Word of God has to become our foundation. The Word of God is an immovable foundation. The Word of God is a life-giving power. The Word of God is the rock of our salvation. You know, here in verse 23, Peter declares that the Word lives and exists forever. It's always the same. It's the same today as it was back with the prophets. It's the same today as it was in the new, as with the apostles. It's the same today as it was with the old generations of years gone by. The Word is still the same. It never changes. The power of the Word is the same all the time, every time. Now in verse 24, he talks about everything else in the world is subject to change and won't last forever. And then in verse 25, he says the gospel he preached was based upon the unchanging Word of God. Let me tell you what, if you don't base your life on the unchanging Word of God, you're going to be unstable in all your ways. It means that the unchanging Word of God is what that we base everything that we do upon. Our salvation is based on the Word of God. Our healing is based on the Word of God. Our deliverance is based on the Word of God. Our prosperity is based on the Word of God. Everything we want from God and want to receive from God is all wrapped up in the Word of God. How many of you have your Bible with you? Hold it up. If you got your Bible on one of those your iPhone or whatever, hold that up. Say that this is the word of God. And I base my life on the word of God. Every promise in the word is mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the unchanging word of God is more powerful than any situation, circumstance, anything that trial, trouble, whatever comes our direction. The word of God has an answer for it. And we've got to believe that. The word will triumph over every circumstance that there is. The word is our victory whenever everything looks like it's in defeat. But the word of God is our victory. The word of God has power over every demonic force. The word of God is mightier than any trouble or situation that can come your way. My father used to say, whenever we get in a tight spot, he'd just say, just another opportunity to prove God's word works. I'd say to him, Dad, what about this? You know, I got to be a teenager, you know. I'd say, well, Dad, what about this? He'd say, son, just another opportunity to prove God's word works. His whole life was based on the word of God. You go ask him, say, well, hey, you know, I heard people ask him many times, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this? He said, what's the word say? What's the Bible say? I go to him, I ask Dad, ask him a question about something. He wouldn't give me an answer. He said, what does the word say? What does the word say? You see, that's what our whole life, everything has to be built on the word of God. That's our foundation. That's where all our answers are, in the word. You hear? You gone home already. You know, that's the attitude that we have to have. Just another opportunity to prove God's word works. If the word worked for previous generations, it'll work for us. You know, if God did it once, he can do it again. Come on. But we have to become convinced that God's word will do what it said. You can't just go around hoping. You got to actually believe it. And you got to stand in the face of every obstacle and say, I believe God. Just like Paul did on that pitch and rolling deck of the ship when he stood on there and he said, wherefore, sirs, I believe God. That's what we have to do. We have to say, I believe the word of God. The word of God says it. I believe it. That settles it. Period. See, we must become convinced that the word of God will work. We got to remind ourselves all the time about the power of the word. The word is unchanging. It's been the same since the beginning. The word is alive. It's full of the power of God. The word is powerful. The word of God is eternal. It will exist. The word, it says right here in the Bible, everything else will pass away, but my word will remain always. Now that's my paraphrase, but that's exactly what it says. The word of God is more sure than anything that we can think of. The word of God is more sure than the sun's going to come up in the morning. Hello. The word is more solid than any rock that you're going to find. You know, there's a rock over there in at the entrance of the Mediterranean Sea called the Rock of Gibraltar. The word of God is stronger than the Rock of Gibraltar. The word of God is powerful, more powerful than anything you can think of. The problem is that we have got to believe it, and then we have got to put it in action in our lives. You know, the psalmist, we need to get be like the psalmist of old. The psalmist of old, he said, when I wake up in the morning, the word of God is my delight. Too many times we wake up in the morning and say, oh my Lord, it's morning. We need to wake up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, just another day to prove God's word is true. That should be our attitude. Then when we sit down at our noon meal, we should be saying the word of God is our confidence. My confidence is in the word, in what God said. You know, we have confidence in everybody else's word sometimes, but the word of God. You know, you can work at a job. The boss can tell you that you're going to get a $500 raise or whatever. And you go home and tell the wife about it. Y'all go out and buy a new piece of furniture because he said you're going to get the raise and you hadn't seen it yet. Hello? You operate on the confidence of his word. Why can't we do the same thing with God? If God said it was going to happen, why can't we operate that way? Why can't we believe what God said right here in his holy word? Sometimes we need to just get our head screwed on straight. If God said it, then it's going to happen. Somebody asked me the other day, well, what do you think about what all's going on? I said, I don't think about it. I know the word of God said. Exactly. It's what's going to happen is what the Bible said. Go read it. It tells you in the last days, everything that's going on, we have. It's what it said. Now, when we go to bed tonight, we need to say the word of God is my sustenance. It's what sustains me. The word of God is my rock. It is what keeps me going in the midst of the storm. In the middle of the storm, if you'll just grab a hold of the word of God, it'll give you a peace that nobody else can understand. The unchanging word of God. It's the power of the word of God that will deliver you and set you free from everything that's around you that's trying to take you down. You know, so many times, and there's nothing wrong with fasting, and there's nothing wrong with praying. We need to do all of that. But sometimes we just need to quote the word of God to the situation. How was the earth and everything in it created? God said, and there was. Go back and read Genesis 1. God said, let there be, and there was. Right? And then you go to Hebrews 11:3. And it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Man. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the what? By the word of God. The things we see were made from things that were not visible. God said it, and it was. Go there in Romans 4, and it said, God called those things and be not as though they were. We need to learn to call things according to the word of God. If the word of God says that by his stripes I am healed, then we need to call it. If the word of God said, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory, then we need to call it. Come on. I'm not telling you something that the Bible doesn't say. That's what the Bible says. That's what God's saying. If he said that you could have peace in the middle of the storm, then call it in. Hello. There's one thing that God did with his voice, and that was to create. Now, I got a sermon I preached on. I create the world you want to see. God created the worlds, but we create the world we want to live in by quoting what God said and living in line with the word of God. Whatever God said, we live in line with it. Whatever God said. We quote the word. We say this is what the word said. The word said he'll bless us. Then I believe I'll get a blessing. If I do what the Bible says, what his word says. Come on. In Hebrews 1:3, it says, all things are upheld by the word of his power. Whatever God does in the earth is according to his word. The Holy Spirit moves according to his word. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will say to us and tell us things and what to do and give us guidance. Isn't that what the Bible says? Anybody ever read that in there where the Bible says the Holy Spirit will tell us what God saying? How many of you ever had the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and tell you to do something? Hey, come on, right? When we do it God's way, it always turns out right. When we try to do it our way, sometimes it don't work. Heaven's resources are available to those that will dare to believe God's word and speak God's word. You know, everything that God does for us is based upon what we confess and believe from the word. Not what somebody said. I mean, I hear people all the time saying, well, Brother Hagin said, you know, that's my dad. Everybody said. And I hear people saying, well, Brother so-and-so said. Hey, you know what? It don't make no difference if I said it. Unless I'm quoting the word of God. Hey, go say what the Bible says. I mean, I was amused the other day. I was watching some television, Christian television, and this person kept saying, Brother Hagin said, Brother Hagin said, about five times in about 2 minutes. And I noticed everything that he quoted was just my dad quoting the word of God. So why didn't he just say the word of God says, the word of God says, the word of God says? But you see, he wanted to make it have credit. He thought it had more credibility if he used somebody's name. There's nothing that is more credible than God. See, if you hear a minister say something, then if it's the word he's saying, then you need to just say the word says. Now, if he's saying something else, then you can say whatever he said. You know, I want you to realize that when someone tells you that they believe something other than the word of God, their foundation is no longer eternally stable. When you believe the word, this is eternally stable. This never changes, and it will last forever. The Bible said so. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You've heard me say it many times. You know, some people want to go by their feelings. Some people want to go by reason. Well, now, let me tell you what I think God meant. I don't know whether you ever heard anybody, but, you know, I grew up in Pentecost, and I heard some preachers say that. And I used to think as a kid, you know, I'm 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. And they'd read a scripture. Now, let me tell you what I think God was saying. And I thought, why can't God just say what he thinks? And why do we have to tell what we think he meant? I believe he said it and he meant what he said. That's me. Now, maybe I'm the only one, but how many of you believe that God said it and that's what he meant, that he doesn't need somebody explaining it? I guess I lost half the crowd at that time, but I'm not going to take it back anyway. I'm one of the oldest ones in here anyway. You see, some people look at their circumstances and they began to see no way out. But if they'll take the word of God, there's a way out. Some people, they're only moved by some kind of demonstration of the moving of the Spirit. And I like demonstrations of the moving of the Spirit. I like it when some, but I'm going to tell you what, you know, some people say, well, we had a Holy Ghost meeting tonight. And the reason they said that is because somebody jumped and danced and shouted a little bit. But But I want to tell you what, it should be a Holy Ghost meeting every time we come together. Don't care whether anybody shouts or jumps or not. It should be a Holy Ghost meeting. Hello. I've been in meetings where, I'm going to tell you what, it was so quiet that a baby didn't even cry. But I want to tell you what, that was the Holy Ghost. That was a Holy Ghost meeting. See, we sometimes get everything all messed up. Let's just go with what the Word says. In fact, the Word of God says that he moved by the Spirit as he wills. He may not want us to jump and shout every time. Come on, that's just, hey, you know me, I just tell it like it is, and that's the way I always have been, even in life. You see, you know, nothing takes the place of looking at the unchangeable, immovable Word of God and taking it for what it says and living in line with it. Now, I'm not going to preach a do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that type sermon. But I'm going to tell you what, we need to learn to live in line with the Word of God. There are some things, yes, there's some things we shouldn't do, and there's some things we should do according to the Word of God. Not according to somebody's creed or doctrine, but according to the Word of God. What the God said. You know, I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, well, you've lost the spirit. You've lost the spirit. You don't wear a tie no more. And so let me tell you. I said, do you believe Paul and Peter had the spirit? Yeah. I said, they didn't wear ties. he got really upset at me. See, some people are looking for some kind of, you're supposed to dress a certain way, and you're supposed to do this or do that. Well, I believe there's a decorum in dress that we should come in line with the Word of God. But you know what? This happened in the 70s. My wife will tell you, we had a man come to the service, and he had on chartreuse breeches and an orange shirt, red tennis shoes. And one of his friends said, man, you look like a clown. He said, oh no, I stood in my closet and I asked the Holy Spirit what he wanted me to wear, and this is what he told me to wear. Dumb me, you know, I'm 30 something years old. I'm 78 now, so that's a long time ago. And I said, it might have been a spirit, but I can tell you what, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. He didn't like that very much. But isn't it strange how people can get off if we just stay with the Word? See, the Word gives us... He tells us that we are a natural person living in a natural world. We got a natural mind and a brain, and we should know how to do certain things. But some people want everything to be spiritual, and some people are so unspiritual they want everything to be natural. That's not it. It's the spiritual and the natural working together that make the explosive force for God. Amen? You know, some people are looking for some mystical, supernatural experience. Well, a lot of times, all they have to do is read the Word of God, and their answer is right there in the Word of God. They don't have to have some kind of supernatural prophecy or something going on. Nothing takes the place of the Word of God. See, if you apply the Word, then it relieves the pressure. Somebody said, oh, I'm just under the gun. Yeah, you're under the gun because you're not letting the Word of God have predominance in your life. The Word says that He'll give you peace. You know, standing on the Word. Standing on the Word. You know, there's an old song used to sing when I was a kid. We sang it in just about every church service. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. How many of you ever sung that song? Oh, a bunch of you. I know the Pentecostals and the Baptists sang it, so I don't know about the others. I do know about them. I know they sang that. All right. See, when you proclaim the word of God, then something happens. Look at Mark 16:20. Look at Mark 16:20. Give you a chance to turn there. I know I've been going fast. I didn't give you a chance to turn some of the scriptures, but Mark 16:20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Here we see the disciples boldly declaring the word. And when they preached the word, there were signs manifest. They exercised authority over the devil. They spoke with new tongues. They laid hands on the sick and they were healed. All these things happened because the word was preached. I'm sorry to say today, there's a lot of good sermons that tell people that everything's going to be okay and so forth and so on, but it's not the word. There's nothing wrong with that. Everything's going to be okay as long as you live in line with God's word and quote God's word. Come on. But you see, we need to get to the point that something happens in the service when you preach the word. See, the word talks about salvation. The word talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. The word talks about healing. The word talks about that he wants to bless us and give us material blessing. Somebody says, oh, you're just trying to tell people that God wants them to get rich. He does, but not the way you think about it. The word rich simply means just having enough to get by with. God wants to give you more than enough. It says so in the word of God. See, all things, these things that we talk about, happen when they preach the word. That's exactly what God wants to do today. He wants to confirm the word in your life, but he can't confirm the word in your life if you're not quoting the word, speaking the word. Hello. See, he's not going to confirm your doubts. He's not going to confirm your fears. He's only going to confirm the word of faith that comes out of your mouth. God will perform his word in accordance with your faith. Your faith. You know, it says if you say to the mountain, be cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, then you'll get it. See, you say it. See, a lot of people want to ride somebody else's faith. Some people want to ride the pastor's faith. They want to ride somebody else's faith. They want to depend on somebody else. When I was 15, I got an ear deal in my ear, fungus and stuff in my ear. And Dad prayed for me, nothing happened. My pastor prayed for me, nothing happened. Dad was out preaching and he came back home at the Christmas time. And he said, I was praying about this situation. If my own son can't even get in. And he said, the Lord told me, you've been preaching some of my sermons in the youth group. You're gonna have to speak the word for yourself. You see, there comes a time that we expect our kids to grow up. You know, there was a time if Craig came to me, I'm sitting watching TV and he's a little small. Dad, I need a drink. Or Dad, I'd like this. I'd go in the kitchen and get it for him. But there came a time I said, hey, you got 2 feet. Go in there and get it yourself. Come on. Why? Because he had grown and I expected him to grow up. God expects us to grow up. It's when somebody is a baby Christian, we can believe God for them. We can help them. But there comes a time they got to grow up and begin to believe God for themselves. Come on now. You know, it's your faith in God's word that's going to bring you the blessing. Today, I've just tried to encourage you to take your stand and declare what God said about you. Declare the salvation of your family according to the word of God. How do you do that? You pray that the Lord will send laborers across their path that they'll listen to. Most of the time, family members won't listen to us. So that's what you pray, that the Lord, and declare that the Lord will send laborers across their path that they'll listen to. Hello. You need to declare that all of your needs are met according to His riches in glory. You need to declare the healing is yours because the word of God says He took stripes on His back for our healing. You need to declare that you're delivered from all the devices of the devil according to the word of God. You need to declare that job is mine in Jesus' name, and then get up and go out and look for it. Don't sit there in your house, because there ain't nobody going to come knock on your door and say, hey, you got to come on, you're going to work for me. No, you declare you have a job according to the word of God's going to give you, and then you go out and you get it. Come on. Oh. Declare that you have favor. The Bible says that you can have favor with God and with man. The way you have favor with God is get in the word. Hello. Your faith in the unchanging, imperishable word of God will bring victory to you in the midst of all the constant change that's taking place, consistently taking place. The word of God is greater than all your problems. The word of God is greater than any trial you face. The word of God will help you to overcome every impossibility. The word of God will help you survive every challenge that the enemy throws at you. The word of God is powerful. It says so in the word. It's powerful, dividing even the bone and the marrow. But you know what? It's powerful. But unless you have faith in it and begin to quote it and live by it, it'll never affect you. So today is the day that you begin to exercise your faith in the immovable, never weakening, imperishable word of God. Today is the day for you for salvation. Today is the day that you begin to quote the word for your deliverance. Today is the day you begin to quote the word of God for your provision. Today, not someday, today. When you dare to put your faith and quote the unchangeable, imperishable, unchanging word of God, you will find that your life will begin to change and everything around you will begin to change. So I want to encourage you, if you want to change your situation, if you want to change what's going on, then begin, get in the word and find the word of God to take care of your situation, because there's everything in the word right here that will take care of every situation that you face, every trial, everything else. Get in the word. Find the word of God for it, and then begin to quote God's word, and then begin to give Him praise and thanksgiving because it's done. Hallelujah. Once you pray and ask for it, then you thank God that it's done. And you keep thanking God that the word of God is working until it's done. I tell people all the time that I pray for. Many of them get instant healing, but I tell the ones that they say, well, I feel a little bad. I said, okay, power of God's working in your body. You keep saying, the power of God's working in my body to affect the healing and the cure. If you need finances, you keep saying, I have sent the ministering spirits out, and finances are coming. The job is coming, so forth and so on. How many understand what I'm saying to you? This is your time. This is your time to receive from God. How many of you got anything out of what I had to say this morning? Glory to God. Everybody stand, please. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to think of the word of God for your situation. And I want you this morning, as we are here, I want you just to raise your hands and begin to thank God. Think of the word of God, if it's whatever it is, and begin to thank God that he's working in your behalf right now according to the word of God. Go ahead. You pray. I ain't going to pray. I'm going to pray a general prayer. You pray a specific prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're meeting the people's needs right now as they open their hearts to declare the word of God is working in their lives. I thank you now that whatever their need is, that you are providing right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it.